God's grace is yours in Jesus. Amen. God's word for our meditation is our Old Testament lesson from Isaiah chapter 42, previously read. In the name of Jesus, foretold by the prophets, recorded by the evangelists, and proclaimed by God's people to this very day, their fellow redeemed. Question for you. If you wanted to share your faith with somebody, if you wanted to explain who Jesus is and what he's done for you, could you do it using only what you know from the Old Testament? In other words, you can't be quoting John 3:16, for God so loved the world. You can only use what is recorded before Jesus was born. If that's all you could use, could you paint a clear picture of who Jesus is and what he came to do? Now maybe you're thinking to yourself, well, like, when would I ever need to do that? Well, if your next door neighbor is a Jew who only accepts the first 39 books of the Bible, then you have to find Jesus in the first 39 books. Wouldn't the same thing be true for all the people who live before Jesus? If there's going to be any believers in the Old Testament, they have to find a Messiah, a Savior of the world, somewhere in the prophets. In fact, wasn't Jesus referring to the Old Testament when he said to the Jews in his day, "These are the scriptures that testify about me"? So back to my original question, could you do it? If all you had to go on was the Old Testament, could you paint a picture of Jesus? I hope you could. But just in case you're thinking, well, I could use a little help, a little refresher, you're in luck. Is that what we're going to do today? We're going to take a look at one of those Old Testament pictures of Jesus, recorded in the book of Isaiah, which, by the way, is a great place to look for pictures of Jesus. Sometimes Isaiah is called the evangelist of the Old Testament because of how often he talks about the coming Savior. Our text for today is referred to as the first of the four servant songs. And what we want to do is see how God describes his servant in the Old Testament, how Jesus fulfills that in the New Testament, and what it means for our lives today. As we do that, we'll come to the conclusion that by the Spirit's guidance, God's servant is a Savior for every age. Our text begins with God speaking to the nation of Israel through the prophet Isaiah. God has just told the Israelites that all their false gods were good for nothing. And then he offers them a better option. He points to the servant. "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight." Those words sound a little familiar. God pointing out somebody that he delights in, that he's well pleased with. Remind you maybe of our gospel reading where the voice from heaven at Jesus' baptism says what? "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And at Jesus' transfiguration, God says exactly the same thing. Both of those are connections, right? You see the connection between that Old Testament prophecy and the New Testament fulfillment in Jesus. But it's not the only connection. God goes on, "I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations." I will put my spirit on him. Again, sound familiar? What did God do at the baptism? It comes down in the form of a dove, puts his spirit on Jesus. Or you maybe remember in our second reading where Peter's talking to Cornelius about how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit. and power. Again, those are references to Jesus' baptism and the fulfillment of the prophecy that God had made through Isaiah. But notice the description of God's servant doesn't stop there. He says, he will bring justice to the nations. In fact, he kind of says the same thing a number of times. God says, in faithfulness, he will bring justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. Now, when you hear that God's servant will bring justice, what does that mean to you? For many people, bringing justice means making things right, making them fair, punishing those bad people. And a lot of people are really fired up about justice, right? Whether it's racial justice or social justice or economic justice. I mean, they're marching in the streets for justice. They want somebody to bring, as Isaiah put it, justice to the nations. In fact, in a sense, isn't that what the Jews in Jesus' day were looking for? We want some justice. We want somebody to throw off the oppression of this Roman government. We want somebody to be our hero. We want somebody to rally the troops. We want somebody to make our nation great again. That's what they wanted in their Messiah. The trouble is that's not what God promised the Messiah would come to do. In fact, just the opposite. God says he will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. In other words, God's servant was not going to be a social activist. He wasn't going to come to rile up the people. He wasn't going to kind of throw his weight around. No, just the opposite. As another Old Testament prophet described him, see, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, on the colt, a foal of a donkey. Again, who better to fulfill those prophecies than Jesus? Throughout his earthly ministry, Jesus spent more time trying to avoid the crowds than he did trying to gather them. Think of how many times he told his disciples, don't tell anybody I'm the Christ. Why not? Because he didn't want people to look at him like some kind of social reformer, some political hero, someone who was going to use his force to make things right, someone who was going to come out down here and make some justice for the nations. But again, maybe you're thinking, really? He didn't come to bring justice? Isn't that exactly what Isaiah said he was going to come to do? Bring justice? Well, that depends on how you define justice. For many people, justice calls to mind a courtroom. Justice is what the judge hands down, right? Justice means if you do the crime, you better be ready to do the time. People are going to be punished for doing the wrong things. That's justice. You realize that's what a lot of people in our world want from God. They want some justice. Look at all the terrible things happening in our world. Come on, God. Why don't you do something about that? Where's the justice here? Or maybe you're saying, yeah, people are sinning against me. When I get ripped off, when somebody steals my job, when they defame me on social media, that's not fair. God, come on. You aren't going to let them get away with that. Come on, God, I'm looking for some justice. Are you sure about that? Are you sure you want justice from a holy God? Are you sure you want God to punish people who break God's commands? Are you sure you want God to unleash his fury against those who allow their dark side to control them. The dark side in every one of us. If we're honest with ourselves, we'll admit that as sinners, really the last thing we want from God is justice, at least the justice that demands that sinners be punished. But you see, that's not the only kind of justice there is. There's a justice that doesn't stem from God's law, but rather stems from God's grace. A justice that allows someone else to be punished in our place. That's the justice that is found in another Old Testament prophecy, in Isaiah 53. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him, and by His wounds we are healed. You realize that nobody fulfills that prophecy like Jesus. Only Jesus takes the bullet for everybody else's sins. In Jesus' perfect life and innocent death, God is able to punish every single sin in the world and therefore be a just God, and at the same time forgive every single sinner in the world and thereby be a gracious God. That's the justice that Jesus Christ established. That's the justice that Isaiah is talking about when he says the chosen servant will bring justice, a not guilty verdict, to the nation, to people of every race and tribe and nation. You realize that's what makes this chosen servant unique. He's not coming to punish sinners. He's coming to bear their sins. He's coming to forgive them, to restore them, to redeem them, to bring them into His family. And that's why God can describe this servant by saying, a bruised reed He will not break, and a smoldering wick He will not snuff out. Again, is there anybody who fulfills those words better than Jesus? You think about the loving care Jesus had for people who were caught in their sin. You think about how Jesus reached out to that woman who was living in adultery. He asked her for a drink of water so He could share the water of life with her. You think about how He, after Peter denied Jesus, did Jesus ream him out? No, he welcomed him. He forgave him. He called him back to discipleship. Jesus spent time in the house of that crooked tax collector, Zacchaeus. Even when Judas was plotting to betray Jesus, Jesus reaches out to him and tries to call him to repentance. You realize that Jesus is still doing the same things today. So often we're the ones who are the bruised and battered reeds, right? Broken by our own sins, bruised by the sins of others. So often we're the ones who have this flame of faith that is just kind of smoldering and about to go out. We're the ones who hate ourselves for the sinful things we keep thinking and saying and doing. And yet, Jesus comes to us and says what? Why don't you clean up your act? Come on, get it together. When you start acting like a Christian, then I'll call you my own. No. Just the opposite. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, who are carrying your sins, who are feeling that guilt, come to me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My friends, that's the Savior we need. That's the Savior for every generation, for every age. The Savior who has come not to fix what's broken in our world. He's come to fix what's broken in us. He's come to fix the relationship that we broke with God. By His perfect life and innocent death, Jesus has brought justice. He has made things right. He's made things right between a holy God and an unholy people. And for that, we can only say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the peace that you have brought to my heart. A peace that I can't wait to share with others. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.